I was asked just a moment ago in the studio, have I ever been to Knightwood? And I had to, with some embarrassment, say no, that I had not. And I was told, well, we'll change that this year. So I just texted my wife and I said, we have to go see this. And she said, yes, please. So we're all very excited. And we're going to tell you about an event that if you, too, have never been there, it seems like something we just can't miss. So we all have to go. Maybe we can you know, all go together. Wouldn't that be fun? We'll have a big party. That'll be great. It's Knightwood at the Mount in Lenox. It combines cinematic music, theatrical lighting, and scenic elements to create encounters that evoke wonder, delight, and mystery throughout the forest and gardens of Edith Wharton's home. It runs November 21st through January 3rd, and Knightwood immerses visitors on a one-mile illuminated path. To tell us more, we welcome Susan Whistler, Executive Director of the Mount in Lenox. Hello, Susan. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. It's great to be here.
It's always great to have you here. Thank you so much for the beautiful work you do at the Mount and sharing it with us. It means so much to us. Chris Bocchiaro joins us from Clear Story Light, and I'm going to put two and two together. They're the ones who provides the lights for Knightwood.
We provide the lights, the sound.
The music. You make it happen.
We make it happen. So thanks so much for having us.
It's a great welcome back. Wonderful to have you back on the show. This event is in what year now? Is this five or six?
This is our fifth year.
Fifth year of Knightwood. And how did it originally come about?
It started during COVID when, you know, there was restricted access to the house itself and we needed to do something to generate revenue, and the outdoors were sort of the only place where people could gather comfortably. And so I reached out to Chris and we walked the property together and I said, you know, I want something magical, nothing holiday, but something that celebrates the trees and the night. And he was off to the races.
And the idea then to continue doing it was because of the success that it had that first year.
The response was enormous. And I think during COVID in particular, everyone was feeling so isolated and afraid that it brought great comfort and sort of a connection to a universe much larger than our own particular predicament.
And it doesn't take long for things to become tradition in the sense of, oh, well, now we went last year, let's go this year because we have to see what, you know, this is a part of our holiday tradition.
Yes, I think that's right. We have many, many people who have come every single year. And it changes every year, which is why I think it continues to be such a draw.
So, Chris, what were the original parameters? What were you told? What did you? How much of this did you know what it was going to be, and how much of it was a surprise when it ended up being what it was?
I think a lot of it was a surprise, and a lot of it really came from that prompt and that discussion with Susan of let's create something magical. Now, of course, where do we find magic? It's kind of all over the place at the Mount. The first time we went there, we were truly inspired by both the design of the place, which was largely of Edith Wharton's own making, as well as the natural landscape, which is really quite stunning. So it, I think, very much became about the place and about nature in ways that we may not have initially seen going into it.
When you start the process, you have the grounds, you have the wood, you have the home and the trail, so it lends itself to doing this. And so I guess from my uneducated vantage point, it would seem like that would give you a lot of opportunity of what you could do.
Absolutely. And part of the joy of being able to change it each year is that we're continually exploring. We're looking at different parts of the property. We're looking at different elements, sometimes within the same area as the property that we had worked previously, and sort of deciding what to highlight. A sort of recurring theme for us has been bringing some of the vibrancy that exists in spring and summer into the winter months. So we will typically always visit the Mount in May or June, And it's a place that's so full of energy and life and nature and that verdant power. We then can kind of imagine how some of that can translate into a piece that happens at night in the wintertime.
And it fits so into your mission and what the mount is overall, doesn't it?
Oh, I think so. And we're so blessed to have, 150 to 200 year old trees. And so they are what really provide the magic for the show. And they are the star.
So how do you make them the star, Chris? How does one do that of bringing our attention to those trees?
So we've looked at trees in a lot of different ways. Last year, we created a sort of trilogy of three different pieces, three different encounters throughout the site that begin with the birth of trees, which is deep in the loamy soil and largely aided by mushrooms.
Loamy soil.
So we begin the piece in the loam down in with the mushrooms. And then we take a look at a thriving forest, and we walk through this beautiful wooded area along a path over a hill where there's an abundance and a diversity of trees all thriving together. And so we created a piece about the connection of those trees to one another. And then we end it in a place that was previously a place where older trees were sort of decaying and looking at sort of the end of life for a tree. So we want to really explore trees in a lot of different ways, and by illuminating them or choosing not to illuminate them, and in writing pieces that really inspire us to look at a forest from a couple different vantage points. I'd say we've learned a little bit about trees over the course of this project.
So you just piqued my curiosity in just saying in the trees we choose not to illuminate. And that's part of it too.
So I come at this as a lighting designer, and there's a composer on our team, there's an architect. So, but my personal specialty is lighting designer, and I'll always tell people that what I love about lighting design is that you have the ability to curate an experience. You can choose what to illuminate, and you can choose what to obscure, and in doing so, really draw people's attention to elements, whether it's of a forest or of a garden or of a building, that they might not have otherwise paid attention to. So there's a lot of property, there's a lot of trees, and we're able to sort of craft a story by choosing what to illuminate.
Tell us about the musical element.
So we begin very early on creating music that sort of fits a theme. So we'll come up with an idea like this concept of trees at the beginning of life, at the middle of life, and at the end of life. We have a new piece this year that is about a beautiful grove of extremely tall maple trees that form a cathedral-like structure. They form a nave. And so we're creating music that builds an emotional narrative, and then everything else we do follows that. So all of the lights are in sync with that music and are aiding the story. But the music really drives the narrative in many ways, because I think it's sort of the most emotionally connected element, at least for me.
Is there a spoken narrative?
There's no smoke in narrative, and that's very intentional. We've always envisioned this as being something that feels a little different to everyone, and that really encourages you to bring your own imagination, your own ideas, your own memories, and sort of stimulate those ideas, that imagination, rather than telling you, yeah, exactly what the story is.
I realize that this is not part of it, but it does seem as that there's sort of that lost in the woods quality that is, sure, can be terrifying, but also pretty cool.
There is, and we've leaned into that anxiousness at times. I think to create drama You know, it's not all happy. There's a little bit of tension, and so we recognize that. And the goal is that as you go through, you become more and more comfortable and find more and more joy being out in the woods at night and farther away from that fear that many do express.
What has the reaction been from 4 years worth of people coming through?
Overwhelmingly positive. The first year we did get a few complaints because people came expecting a traditional holiday show, which this is not. Yeah. And so once expectations were properly set.
No jingle bells?
No jingle bells.
But we have 8 million other places to do that.
We do have hot chocolate, though.
No, that's good. So, well, that's traditional, yeah. Sure.
And so, again, the first year, a lot of comments sort of people, again, I think because of COVID, described it as almost a religious, a spiritual experience.
Yep.
I mean, again, you are in the woods and the trees look so much larger at night and you feel dwarfed by the trees and then you've got that magnificent night sky above it. Often there's a full moon that sort of sets the setting from above and you're just kind of overwhelmed by the beauty of it. And people are not afraid and children love it. Adults love it. We do take people in golf carts, people with mobility. So all people have to do is call the office, and we're happy to arrange a golf cart tour.
Oh, that's great.
Of the path. And then at the end, we've got a cafe in our courtyard, and our bookstore is open. So
great. And you're there, obviously, seeing this incredible home and the foot of the gardens.
Yeah. And the house itself is kind of a silent witness. It is illuminated, but it is not really part of the show. It's like this silent partner observing.
What is, this is a cheesy talk show question, I apologize, because I've tried over the years not to add cheesy talk show questions to my repertoire, but allow me one.
Sure.
What do you think? Do we have any sense of what Edith Wharton would make of such a thing?
I think she'd be thrilled by it. I mean, she viewed plants as her friends, and when her garden was devastated in winter by the winter frost, she wept as if she'd lost a child. I mean, she was deeply connected to nature,
really?
And she wrote a lot of mostly poetry, wrote a lot about trees.
Do you look in any, whether it be materials or things that are there, to make the connection between what people are experiencing and Wharton?
Actually, no. We don't try to impose Wharton on this experience. I mean, people who are Wharton fans can certainly come at the experience through that lens. But as Chris had said, we really want people to bring their own imaginations, their own experience, their own memories. And they create meaning for what this experience is.
And that idea of letting people say, okay, I'm going to take my imagination for a ride, that's fun.
It is fun. It's I think, a really interesting challenge for us as sort of artists trying to create these spaces and that really sort of stimulate the imagination and give people maybe a hint as to how we envision a specific area or a specific piece. But ultimately, I really want people to find their own joy through their own stories that only they can bring to the table as they walk through this experience.
But the idea is joy.
That's certainly my primary experience of walking through this site at any time of year. I've been to the Mount in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, and in, I want to say, 8-degree, feels like negative 20 day in the winter. And it is always joy. So, but that's for me. I think our job is to create a sort of emotional arc and then to let people empathize with that in their own way and to say, oh, this reminds me of something I read, something I experienced, a person I once knew. And some people that will be tremendous joy. Some people that'll be, you know, maybe something more bittersweet. But there's variability.
Well, it just sounds gorgeous, and I know the people who have seen it have just been delighted by it. It's Knightwood at the Mount in Lenox, Massachusetts. It runs November 21st through January 3rd. You can go to edithwharton.org, edithwharton.org, to see the full schedule and when it is open and available. Again, Knightwood running November 21st through January 3rd, edithwharton.org. Susan and Chris, I thank you so much for being with us. I hope you have a beautiful season, and thank you for providing this wonderful offering to the community.
And thank you, Joe. So I hope to see you there.
You will. Thank you very much. Knightwood runs November 21st through January 3rd, edithwharton.org, edithwharton.org. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.